God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 20th day of April, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. A special treat as Brother Clifford Clark is with us to present the message. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Isn't God good? I'm so appreciative that God allowed me to come back. I like to preach in this church, and I like everything about this church except the driver that came to pick me up. Scott's an awful nice young man, but he's a terrible driver. I'm so glad Mrs. Clark was able to come. Could we have the ushers come and take an offering? We need some money for her hairdo. They don't seem to be moving back there, preacher. But we had last year, we mentioned this, we had our 60th wedding anniversary. And, yes, thank you. And I told Miss Clark, I said, now you understand, you made the commitments the first time, and it's lasted 60 years now. Are you willing to take another commitment of 60 years? She was not nearly as excited as the first time. But she said, I will if it doesn't rain. Well, that's a strange answer. It rained all day. So now I don't know whether it's binding or whether it's in force or just where we stand. But the need of the money is still there. She is getting more expensive every single day. Where is Miss Clark? What happened to Mrs. Clark? She's standing back there, yeah. And I'm so delighted to be in this church. You know, I'm a connoisseur of churches because I'm in a different one nearly every Sunday. And this church has the ingredients of really moving on and out for the Lord. You've got the personnel. You've got the people in the church. That's the first thing, that love the Lord. I've been preaching this church since 1950. So I believe I have a little understanding. And then you have leadership here that is driven by not greed or not the wrong things, but rather the Lord. You've got a good pastor. Yes, you do. You got a good staff, good helpers. And now you've got this new facility. And you know, I wondered when we moved into our new facility in Tulsa, just what would be the effect? How would it change the church? And sometimes it can be anticlimactic. It can have its problems, and it's not like it used to be, and the crack is not where it used to be in the ceiling, and you know, all those biggies. And you know what we did in the first 3 years after we got into the new facility? We doubled the attendance. We went from 750 to 1500 in 3 years. What do you think about that? And I expect the same out of this church. I believe it'll happen. And this church is destined to be a great church. Somebody said to me when I first went to Tulsa, said, "We want our church to be small." Well, I want it to be just as big as God wants it to be. And the more people we can win, the more people we can disciple, the more people we can send out to the fields, and the more money we can give. And so I don't think it's wrong for a church to have a vision, as long as it's God's vision. And I just pray that God will help you not to be a large, selfish church. Don't do that. You be a giving church. You be a church with a world vision, with the whole world in your heart. And God will bless you, and God will send out missionaries from this church, and God will send out funds from this church. And that's one of the great things. We were discussing, Brother Scott and I were discussing this morning, with the third world coming in with a lot of personnel now, the greatest need for the American good churches is, let's get on the board of giving. Giving money to get these people to their fields and keeping them there. And giving them all of the things that it takes to get the job done. I believe our soldiers deserve the best. Amen. And I believe our soldiers in Iraq need the best. And I think the soldiers out there on the front lines telling the story of Christ need the best. Amen. The best equipment. Amen. Let's not go as second-rate people. Let's go as first-rate people with our hearts right. Well, praise the Lord. After the service this morning, back in the vestibule, you can see some of the books that I've written. One, I think maybe I had it here last time I was here, about my life, a life story. It's got a beautiful, very, very nice picture on the front. Well, not quite. Somebody said, "Why didn't you put a recent picture of yourself on the front of this book about your life?" I didn't want to. Are there any other questions? And recently, a young lady wrote a book, and it is principally a Christian character book. She's up, I shouldn't perhaps tell this, but she's up for the outstanding teacher in the state of Oklahoma. And she's a fine Christian lady, and she's written this book with sound effects. You have to take the book, and then you look in the back. It tells you how to get all of the sound effects about the John Deere tractors, and it's quite a unique. And we have some of those back there for the first time. And also our daughter, who sang with this man, who is an outstanding musician there in our city. And they've come out with old-time gospel songs. I know many of you love those good songs, and we have only six of them left. So get back there, and all of this, one of this, is $10 for... Well, how many believe this is the Word of God? Say amen. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. I always like to hear the testimony of how people get saved. I don't know about you, but the best thing that ever happened to me was getting saved. It's life-changing. It was eternity-changing. I thank God for my family that were concerned about my spiritual life. I'm so appreciative of my Sunday school teachers that cared, that gave me their love and their concern in the gospel. I'm so glad for the ministers that have come into my acquaintanceship that have put their life, their shadow, their teaching across my path. I owe so much to so many. I'm so glad for a church out in Denver, Colorado, that continued faithful down through many years. I love to read their history. So that a young man that moved there from western Kansas could hear the gospel and hear it right. Aren't you glad you heard the gospel right? Wasn't all confused. It was simple. It was understandable. I'm so thankful for that church that kept on keeping on. Oh, not all of them. But thank God, out of that church, because of the faithfulness of that church, I got saved. I heard the gospel. My heart is heavy this morning. I hope that you'll bear with me. But two of our dearest friends are in sorrow this morning. And the pastor doesn't know this. But Mrs. Deal will probably not live through the day. I remember leading her to Christ in her home. And she told me just the other day, she said, "Brother Clark, I'm not a theologian, but I know that the Bible is true. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I remember doing that. And I meant it. And I'm going to go to heaven now. She and her husband spent 50 years in the Congo, starting over 100 churches. And my heart is heavy because she and her husband are some of our dearest friends. My wife and I are probably our closest friends. But you know, it's not so bad to think that we leave this earth and then we feel somebody's hand in ours. And we look closer and it's His hands. It's Jesus. And I've told Him a lot of times, you know, when you get older, you preach different. I preach different about heaven because I'm closer. But I want to tell you something. As long as Jesus Christ is there, I'm willing to go through the valley with no fear, with no problems. I had to say that this morning before I started to preach. In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts is the story of the conversion of the great apostle Paul. I love to read it. He was such an opponent, as you know, of Christianity and the Christians. His major goal was to destroy Christianity. He was doing his very best. But thank God, the Lord loves us even though that we're unlovable and we hate and we don't love Him back. And you know the story of how on that Damascus road he met the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I met him coming down the aisle of that church in Denver. And I said, "Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I want you more than I want my sin. I want you to save me now." And that very moment Jesus came into my heart. I was there when it happened. But this man was gloriously saved and gloriously changed. He was saved and then he was baptized. That's always a good sign. Amen? It says here in the 9th chapter, "And he was baptized." How many thank God that you can not only be saved, but you can be baptized. Amen? Like Christ was. Somebody said, "Well, it doesn't make any difference in the form." Oh, yes. Christ was immersed. He set the example for us. Paul was immersed. That's what the word means. And then he became a part of that church there in Damascus. And I thank God, outside of my conversion, I thank God for the church that God placed me in. What a wonderful, wonderful church it is. I pastored them, well, 35 years. It's a long time to look at the same congregation. But I think they had to look at me too. And I made a real bad mistake, preacher. Don't make this mistake. One Sunday I got up and I said, "You folks need a new pastor." They looked around and they said, "Yes, we did. We do. We didn't know you knew it." But you know, if you're saved, you need a good church home. One that'll preach the Word of God. One that'll challenge your life. If you don't need your church now, just wait. You will. When I had the stroke here just about a year ago, I needed my church. They came and they prayed for me. And they loved me. And my pastor encouraged me. Yes. And Paul became a part of that church there in Damascus. And they discipled him and they trained him and they gave him their love. And he flourished. He went on. And then there began to be rumors. They don't like him. Some of the folks here don't like him. He's preaching this Christianity. He's not a Jew any longer. And we need to stop him. And we're going to stop him by killing him. You know the story of how the disciples came to him and said, "Now, it's rumored that you're going to be killed. We've got to get you out of here. How are we going to do it?" And they thought, we'll put him in a basket. And we'll let him down out of that window, that door, on the side of the wall around Damascus. And they took that man and they put ropes around the basket. I don't know how many ropes. A good number, I suspect. And they put Paul in the basket and they let him down. Down to safety. And it says here in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, they let him down in the night. It's dark out there. He didn't know what was going to happen. There had to be fear in his heart. He knew the significance. He knew the meaning. But thank God they let him down safely. And my dear friends, let me tell you something, and you hear me. You've got to either get in the basket or you've got to hold a rope. One of the two. That church was totally mobilized. I hope and pray that Central Baptist Church will be totally mobilized by either getting in the basket or holding a rope. Aren't you glad that the people that held the rope and the Apostle Paul was there in the basket, they didn't let go. They stayed with it. But I think that church, that Damascus church, was a Baptist church. How do you know? Because they took an offering every time. Oh, I'm just joking. I don't know about that. But I believe that every single member in that church was involved. I just believe that. I believe they held a rope. And I'm just as sure, if it was a Baptist church, and I pastored a Baptist church, and I know something about Baptist churches, I'm sure that some of the folks that were holding the ropes got weary, got tired, and said, "The rest of you do it. I'm going to just take a little time out." I think that one of the people that was holding the rope said to the other one, "I don't like you very well. You got bad breath. Something's wrong with you." Oh, I think there were some that said, "You know, I need to retire." Let the young people do it. I don't know all that they said, but thank God there were some folks that stayed and held the rope. They didn't give up. They stayed with it so that this man could get out of that basket to safety and go and preach the gospel to Europe. And they came from Europe to the United States, and they came to Western Kansas, and they came to Denver, Colorado, and they came to Ponca City. Aren't you glad they held the ropes? Yes. But somebody had to train him. Somebody had to put up with his immaturity. Somebody had to encourage him. You know what the greatest need in our churches today? Encouragement. People are discouraged. We don't need to be. We need to encourage one another. I believe that discipleship in its truest form is performed by the older folks to the younger people. I believe that my mission as an older minister is to encourage John Waterloo and all the young preachers. That's my mission. Thank God for a dear lady in our church. Oh, she's a real soldier of the cross. I remember leading she and her husband to Christ many, many years ago. And Betty Norton became a teacher in our junior department. Do you know how long that she stayed as a teacher? 40 years. 40 years. She didn't just teach a junior's class. She kept up with them after they left the class. And there was a young boy. He didn't have a very good background. His daddy left his mother when he was just a little lad. And he was raised by this single mother. And he was in Betty Norton's class. And after he left, he went to Tulsa University, where I went to school. And I preached to him and I said, "Don't believe this liberal stuff that's being put out here. It's not true. And you stay by the Bible." And I taught him in the church. And after he left, do you know what he did? He went to seminary. Do you know what he has today? One of the large churches in Texas that is telling the story of Jesus Christ. And Betty Norton calls him every year and keeps encouraging him. After all those years, nearly 40 years, and now that she's got to be retired, she still does it. She's still holding the ropes. And that boy that didn't stand a chance, one in a million, has one of the big churches that's preaching the gospel in the state of Texas today. And the other day I got a letter from him. And Chris said, "Brother Clark, I'm so glad you kept me from being a liberal. That I was, thank God I didn't believe all those lies. I still believe the Bible. I still believe the truth. I still believe in being saved. Thank God. I'm glad I kept holding the ropes." Somebody had to take time for you. Somebody had to pour their life into you. Somebody had to encourage you. I don't know, preacher, if you ever get discouraged. I did. The last year I was in the temple, I preached 100 funerals in 1 year. That's a lot of sorrow. That's a lot of emotion. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I went out to just a little home. You see, this couple had visited us the week before. Oh, little did I dream what God was going to do with them. You never know who's in the basket. That church at Antioch didn't realize who was in the basket. The greatest missionary of all times. And these people that were holding the ropes, they didn't realize who they had in the basket. They thought, my, this Jewish man here that gave us all this trouble, he's the guy we got. No, listen, God can change people. God can save people. God can call people. That's what he did. But I'll never forget. I didn't mean to say it this way this morning, but it's so much in my heart. But you know, I didn't know who they were. I'd never met them before. But I went. And I shall never forget. They went into their home and I presented the gospel and how to be saved. And they said, no, we've never been saved. I said, would you like to be? And she said, I want to be saved right now. And her husband said, well, I'll wait just a while. But she said, no, I want to be saved right now. And I began to take the Bible and show her how to be saved. And about that time, as we got on our knees, a knock came to the door. And she went to the door and she said, I'm sorry, we're busy. Come back later. And just slammed the door. She meant business. And I led that lady to Jesus Christ. A young lady. That was back in the mid-50s. And they just grew in the grace knowledge of the Lord. You say, Brother Clark, how do you know that? Well, they started tithing. Very first thing, they started tithing into the church. When you get the pocketbook saved, they're saved. And then, we said, in addition to your tithe, you're to give to missions by faith. We've got to hold the rope for these people out there on the mission fields. So get on board. Become a part every week, in addition to your tithe. And that couple did that. And after 2 or 3 years, they came to me and they said, now, preacher, God's called us to be missionaries. Where to? Well, the Congo. Oh, I said, don't think so. They're killing missionaries over there right now. I don't believe that'd be a good place to go. They said, that's where God's called us and that's where we're going. He said, I resigned my job out at American Airlines. Had a mighty good job out there. They went to Bible college. They came home, did their internship. And we stood out at the airport and bid them goodbye. That was in the late 50s. And they went over to that dark part of Africa. They had a ministry particularly around Lake Tanzania. And we bought them a boat so they could get back to those that had never heard. And we bought them a camper so they could have facilities that were adequate. And we kept supporting them every month. Preacher, we've never missed. We've never been late. And one Sunday I was up preaching. This is the truth before God. And I said to the congregation, get on your knees. I'm not going to preach now. I want you to get on your knees, all of you. And I want us to pray for Elmer and Mary Deal in the Congo. I don't know why, but I just feel like we need to pray for them. And that congregation, that large congregation, got on their knees and prayed for them. Somebody kept track in their Bible. And at that very moment, this couple in the Congo was caught in the crossfire between the United Nations troops and the rebels. And God protected this couple. They got under a mattress. And God kept them. Over 150 missionaries were killed but not this couple. Why? Because God called their pastor and church to prayer. Prayer is powerful. You connect with God. And Brother Deal said something to me the other day that really spoke a whole lot. He said, "Brother Clark, I was saved in the church. I was baptized in the same church. I was discipled in the same church. I was called by the Lord to be a missionary in the same church. I've been a missionary over 50 years out of the same church, the sending church. I'm still a part of this church. I'm still tithing into this church. I'm still giving to missions in this church." Well, we're a part of a world team. We're on the same team. We're a part of getting the gospel. And I went over there and I said to my good wife, "Let's go see the results. Let's see what God's done." There are over 50,000 people been baptized in their churches. And I had the joy of preaching in many of their churches. And whenever I would finish preaching, they would always give me a little curio that they'd made something significant to them. And one time when I got finished, they gave me a live rooster. "Well, what do you do in the heart of Africa with a live rooster?" And my wife spoke to the ladies' group that afternoon. They gave her two live roosters. They said, "She's twice as good as you are." And we gave the roosters to the pastors. And I wish you could have heard them sing. All the choirs, hundreds of them. Thousands of people. And a church was faithful, and a missionary was faithful. And we held the ropes. And she's dying this morning. The doctor says she won't last this weekend. I almost didn't come. She and I have had an argument the last 6 months or so. I've told her she owes me 35 cents. So when I went in to see her a couple of days ago, I said, "Mary, I've come to collect my money." She said, "You're not getting more than 35 cents. Now here's a lady on her deathbed that hasn't lost her humor. But she said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go." And he said, "Don't fight it. She's fought cancer for 5 years. I'm glad that there'll be no cancer in heaven. I'm glad we're not locked in this body forever. We're going to be released. And it looks like she's going to meet me there." I wonder, if I was telling your story, what kind of story would it be? Do you really know you're saved? That's more important than anything you're thinking about. I wonder, do you really tithe into this church? Are you a giver? Jesus Christ was a giver. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a giver. He gave us His love. He gave us His life. He gave us His blood. He was a giver. And then He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That didn't mean just the preacher. That didn't mean just the missionary. Brother Green, it meant every one of us. Are you giving to help these people go? That's part of being a Christian. You don't have to pray about that. Just do it. He'll direct you. He'll help you. And I'm so glad that this side of heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed me to come again. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray this morning for this dear one as she goes into the valley of the shadow. Be with her family. Be with those that this couple is one to Christ in the Congo. Give them understanding. Give them comfort. Because they're in deep sorrow too this morning. And now, Lord, we pray for this church in Ponca City. You raised this church up many years ago, Lord. And now it's flourishing. Now it's got a big open door. Oh, God, we pray. Help the people to hold the rope. Not give up. Not forget. Keep them on course. Keep them with the vision. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would say, Brother Clark, I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I know that I've been born again. I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And I'm not ashamed. Put up your hand. I'm not ashamed. Thank you. Just bow your head and thank Him for saving you. You say, I've done that before. That's okay. Do it again. Thank Him for saving you. How many would say, yes, Pastor Clark, I am saved. But you know, it's easy to get cold and indifferent and careless. It's easy to lose the vision. It's easy to let go of the rope. How many sense the need of prayer? Would you put your hand back up and say, pray for me. I'm a Christian, but I sense the need of prayer. God knows the need in your life. Could there be somebody here that's not sure you're saved? I realize that I've ministered to the church this morning, the church family. But if you're here and you're not certain, we'd like to pray for you. Would you give us that privilege of praying for you? Just put up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray for you. Did I see your hand? Yes. Is there another hand? Just put up your hand and say, pray for me. How many are here this morning and you need a church home? You're a Christian. But you need a church home. Of course you do. Would you ask us to pray for you? Would you put up your hand? You that need a church home. That's so important. Yes, God bless you. Let us stand as we pray. Everyone standing, please. I want every person to pray. And you that have heard me preach before know that I ask all of you that raised your hand for whatever reason to come and kneel and pray this morning. You say, I can pray back here. I understand that. But I want you to come humbly. Just kneel and pray and then go back to your seat. If you want somebody to pray with you, we will. Of course we will. But whatever your spiritual need is, there'll be people here to pray with you. And you that raised your hands, for whatever reason, I want you to come right now as we sing.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our guest speaker, Brother Clifford Clark. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.